Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country. Heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber. The complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye, he needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope. With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Buck Sexton Show. On this episode, we have Lila Rose with us. She is the founder of Live Action. Check out the Lila Rose podcast, and also her book is Fighting for Life. Ms. Rose, we live in interesting times, a lot of good stuff going on, a lot of bad stuff going on. I'm going to talk to you about all of it today. Thanks for making the time for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So let's start with the Dodgers. I'm not a sports guy. I played sports. I like sports. I am somebody who in my older age now no longer wishes to give any money or time to professional sports because, well, a whole bunch of reasons I'm sure you can guess and we could get into some other time. But even within the I don't care about sports realm, occasionally something comes up and I go, wow. So now we do have to talk about this. So tell us about who the Dodgers invited, disinvited, and then reinvited for their Pride Night celebration and what the stance is right now of at least one player and how this whole thing is playing out.
Yeah, of course. So the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence is not a group of lovely nuns or, you know, Catholic sisters trying to serve the poor. They are a group of men, drag queens, who dress up as women and commit blasphemous sex acts using crucifixes and rosaries. So there's this extremely anti-Catholic, basically a hate group against Catholics. And this is who the Dodgers, this beloved team, Los Angeles team, decided to invite, not just invite to Pride Night, Buck, but they chose to give them the Community Hero Award. And so they're saying that they are the community heroes and they need to be awarded in this way. And obviously this caused uproar from not just Catholics and not just Christians, but people in general saying this group is specifically mocking Jesus Christ, who's considered God by the leading world's religions. I mean, imagine if this was done to an image of Muhammad. There was a group of LGBTQ activists who were mocking and committing sex acts on an image of Muhammad. I mean, it would just be an all out, it would be extremely scandalous and contentious. But because it's Christians, it's fair game, is kind of what the Dodgers are behaving as. So anyways, they got disinvited, like you said, and then they got reinvited after a bunch of LGBT groups said, how dare you disinvite this drag queen group? And so now we have continually double down. I mean, the Dodgers have not done anything. They gave them the award. They're giving them the award. And I think a lot of people are going to be boycotting future games.
Yeah, it seems overtly almost intended to offend for Catholics. I mean, I've seen some of the video, for example, of someone portraying the crucified Jesus and then having a drag queen do a striptease. I mean, you know, this is about as offensive or blasphemous as I think it's could be expected to get. Right. I mean, it's about as bad as anybody, I think, can imagine in some ways. But I also want to know, why is being a drag queen something that is now considered brave? Like, what is brave about a man who derives, based on what we knew about psychology, at least for the last 50 years or so, sexual gratification for dressing up as a woman? This is brave. Why?
Right. And why do they need to exhibit their behaviors and sexual dances and provocative dances in front of children at public libraries? You know, why is it even a thing that we're talking about drag queen story hours? How did this even enter the conversation? And who was the first person who thought, yeah, what children really need to see is adult men living out their fetishes in front of children to get their approval in our library system? But that's obviously where the debate has gone. And, you know, the Dodgers doing this, it's like we've created this victim class that if you're a drag queen, you can do and mock anyone. You can be sexual in front of children. You can mock Jesus Christ. And everyone's supposed to say, like, oh, you have the right to do that. It's nonsensical. And I think there's backlash happening against it. I do think the Dodgers are going to suffer from this in the future. Their reputation is tarnished. You know, one of their lead players announced on Twitter a few days ago, well, now we're going to have a Christian family night. I forget the name of the player, but, you know, as if to make up for, yeah, we just, you know, spat on your religion and now we're going to celebrate your religion. I don't think anyone should go to that Christian family night, by the way, because the Dodgers have already made clear where they stand. But I don't think long term this extreme, you can call it wokeism or gender ideology coming from these businesses is going to serve them. I do think, you know, Target had their LGBTQ pride sections in the front of all their stores. They had their tuck-friendly bathing suits. I know you've covered this, talked about this, tuck-friendly bathing suits for
use a scientific term for this on the Clay and Buck show, Lila. We call it a hot dog hider.
Okay. Very scientific of you. Well, I mean, they say, well, they're not for children. They're not, well, it's so crazy because they're saying, oh, it's not targeted, right? That you get fact checked, by the way, Buck, if you say that Target is targeting children with these products. Like literally the AP fact checker is going to go after you on Facebook and say, or on Instagram, oh, that's not what Target did. These weren't targeted towards children. The pride, it was a pride onesie for your baby. And the tuck friendly swimsuits were in a section next to children's gear. And they were small. They saw size extra small for the 12-year-old boy who thinks he's a girl that Target's now encouraging him to hate his body and hate his penis, basically. So it's just like, where did we get here? So, anyways,
this is new. I gotta make sure I get this right. My understanding from reading the news articles was that there were, you know, hide the man area stuff for adults, which I think is bizarre and twisted in and of itself. But it sounds like you're telling me, and I had not heard this from anyone else before, that some of the hide the man parts bathing suits were actually geared toward children or could be geared toward children. Is that right?
They were in sections with children. So right next to the baby onesie and the toddler clothing is a swimsuit which size extra small would absolutely fit a 12 or 13 year old. And then one of the models wearing this swimsuit looks like a 12 or 13 year old girl, or it could be a boy dressing, you know, presenting as a girl. So this to say, you know, the fact checker saying that, oh, this is not Target, is, you know, it's children's right. over here, adults over here. Target would never target children with these products. It's a total lie. They're targeting children. They're in and among children's products. They use child models for the garment. Is it an adult sizing? Sure. But pubescent children, you know, that are going through puberty.
So technically it's adult size, but obviously a smaller, you know, a child could get the extra small, and it's near enough that they might just say, oh, well, I see what's going on here. But I want to ask you the deeper question. Why do they want to do this? Why are they doing this? This is clearly, I mean, I have an answer, which I'm happy to share with you, but I wanted to know why you think they're doing this, because it is clearly, you brought up, why do they want to have drag queen story hour? Why do they? Yeah, okay. What do you think the answer is? Because I think the answer is so disturbing that it's almost hard to speak about out loud, but I think people need to hear it more. What do you think is going on?
I think there's a few things going on. One answer is that there's a desperate need when you are practicing a disordered sexual lifestyle, when you are at war with your body, you have a deep need for acceptance. You're looking for your identity and you want to find that identity. So you're going to blame when you're at war with yourself. Like if you're someone who has same-sex attraction, you're going to say, well, I'm unhappy because of homophobia. Well, maybe you're unhappy because you're living a lifestyle where you're having sex with other men and you're a man, that will lead to psychological and physical unhealth for you down the line. But you want to blame exterior forces. If you're a person who struggles with gender dysphoria, you'll say, well, I struggle with gender dysphoria and I have all of these suicidal issues, or I'm depressed, or I'm anxious because society won't accept me. No, you're at war with your body and you need to make peace with your body and need medical help for that and psychological help for that. But if you can blame external forces, then you can say that external forces have the responsibility to support what you're doing, to support your gay marriage, or to support your transgender identity. And then why wouldn't children have the responsibility as part of society to not be a homophobe or a transphobe? You know, why shouldn't we say, yeah, children need to see two men kissing on the street the same the way that they would see their mother and their father, or they need to see a man cross-dressing the same way that they see a man or a woman wearing, you know, their gender's clothing. So the natural consequence of lack of self-acceptance and war with yourself, wanting society to affirm you because you have this deep psychological unhealth, leads to forcing the children to get in line. I mean, I think that is a kind of complex, but that is the ultimate answer. I think there's also satanic stuff happening. It's spiritual. I think there's sexual revolution consequences for that. But I think the core reason is you need the children to ultimately affirm you, to continue to live in this depravity, because otherwise you're forever at war with yourself. You're looking for that ultimate affirmation.
Also, I've been telling people this, and I think that this is hard for people to process. But the position, I know you know this, but it bears repeating for everybody who's listening. The position of the left is not that you can become a transgender woman. It's that you are a woman when you are trans in every way, which is the most blatant and obvious kind of lie, because in no way are you actually a woman growing out your hair long, painting your fingernails. And, you know, I point out to everybody that Dylan Mulvaney does not act like a woman. Dylan Mulvaney acts like a caricature of a 14-year-old girl, and not even a good version of a 14-year-old girl, a caricature of a 14-year-old girl. Dylan Mulvaney is, I think, in his 20s. But this all, I think, has been growing for a long time. And part of it, as I see it, is the on a political level and really a mass psychosis level, if they can get you to affirm the most obvious untruth, then they can get you to say anything. And I think this is very common in the Soviet Union, that if you can debase people's, and they did not just the Soviet Union, they do this in North Korea, they do this, they did this in Maoist China, debase the most obvious things that you know to be true, and you are inherently destabilized and more able to be molded in other areas, right? Because if you can't say the most blatant and obvious things that you can observe yourself, well, then when someone else in authority tells you, well, this is true, you no longer have the psychological defenses to say, no, it's not, because you've effectively been co-opted into a massive lie. And then without getting too deep into it, the point you made about something satanic or demonic about this, What could be more demonic than convincing children to generally mutilate themselves for the rest of their lives? It's hard to think of things. And that there are doctors and MDs pushing this, and that there is a desire to make this a standard. I mean, I truly believe, I used to say this, Lila, that it's only a matter of time before you'll be considered a bigot as a straight male if you don't find a trans woman attractive, which you've probably seen this. This comes up. They try. They'll float a trial balloon about this. Oh, but what do you mean? That's, you're bigoted. You're transphobic. And also the doctors getting the gender of the baby wrong. Well, that's just that is the end result of the overall ideology, which is that this is somehow both entirely changeable, and yet we're supposed to believe that it is ingrained from birth, right? Which is completely incoherent. Makes no sense.
Right. It's totally incoherent, and it doesn't make sense. But you know, you see the catastrophe. I interviewed Chloe Cole recently. I know you. Familiar with her, but she's 19 years old, and when 18 years old, when she was 15, they give this perfectly healthy girl a double mastectomy because she's having gender identity issues, and they say, well, now you're a boy, and then she detransitions at 16, and now she's telling her story, and now they're saying, you know, they're mad at her for how dare you violate the cult. It's basically, gender ideology is a cult, and if you don't believe the things that are totally illogical, and you don't say and do what everyone else is doing, and you break free of it, then they give you the cult treatment, which is, we hate you forever. I mean, we're going to completely reject you. And that's what they've done to Chloe. But, you know, the other thing that's so crazy about this, Buck, is that if a child can consent to changing his or her gender, like if a child can decide at 5 years old that they're not a boy, they're a girl, and that they can decide to take puberty blockers and hormone blockers, and then, you know, get, you know, bottom surgery or chest surgery, which is basically their reproductive parts and retooling them to be a fake version of the other body's part, you know, the opposite sex's part. If a child can consent to all of that, why can't a child consent to having sex? Right? Like, why can't a child have sex? And yeah. I think that's where this gender ideology takes you, is that it basically says children are sexual. Children have autonomy, and they should get to make sexual choices. So why can't you be okay with pedophilia? And you know, there's this thing of, oh well, these conservatives or those anti-trans people, they're just so scared of pedophilia. They see pedophiles everywhere. Yeah, because pedophiles are everywhere. There are pedophiles in our country. There always have been. And are we going to give them legal cover for their perversion? Or are we going to protect children? And that's what it does come down to at its core. What Target is doing, they are groomers. What these businesses are doing to promote pride products and transgender social contagion to kids, they are grooming kids for sexual exposure and activity, and it should be criminalized. And that's why, obviously, so many people are upset about it. And Target's share has dropped $10 billion in the last few weeks.
Since you think it's going to keep going?
I think so. If people like you and me keep speaking on it, and if people like you and maybe not you, but definitely like me, stop shopping there. I don't know if you used to love Target.
My wife, I've had to tell her no more Target. She used to love shopping at Target. This is a very common thing. So let's come back in a second. I want to talk to you
Los
about
Angeles.
What'd you
the
say?
The pro-life brand. Carly Jean Los Angeles is a pro-life brand. They have Target-like clothes. There's alternatives.
Okay. Good to know. So I'm going to speak to you about pro-life issues in a second. But, you know, first off, just from our sponsor here, Chalk, nowhere is it written you shouldn't feel the top of your game every day. That's what Chalk is all about, C-H-O-Q. Why shouldn't you feel fantastic every day, full of energy, ready to take on the world? Chalk produces high-quality nutritional supplements, none more popular than the Male Vitality Stack. This combination of everyday supplements is designed to supply your body with the nutrients to fuel energy, focus, and stamina. The leading all-natural ingredient has been researched to show serious improvement in testosterone in a guy's body, up some 20% in just 3 months' time. You'll feel it as it happens, this increase in testosterone, which is a great driver of energy and focus. When you decide it's time for you to double down on your energy and focus, find your way to Chalk online. That's chok.com. There and there only save 35% off the Chalk subscription you choose for life when you use my name, Buck, in your purchase process. That's Chalk, chok.com. Use promo code Buck for 35% off in that process. So Lala, I have to ask you, I know a number. I mean, I work with some pro-life organizations, have currently worked with one and have with others in the past. I have a number of friends who have been very vocal in the pro-life movement on in media for years now. And this is what I'm hearing from a lot of them, okay? If we don't back off six-week abortion bans everywhere, basically, we're going to lose every state and we're going to lose the presidential election in 2024. You know, every state election, I should say, and we'll lose the presidential election in 2024. This is a loser. We can't win with it. What do you say to that?
Totally inaccurate. It's completely inaccurate. Look at Florida. Governor DeSantis signs into law the heartbeat bill. He had 54, this is a purple state. DeSantis had 54% of Democrats in Florida support the heartbeat law. In Texas, Governor Abbott signs the heartbeat law into, sends the heartbeat bill into law. He wins his reelection in a increasingly moving towards purple state. So you had, and then Governor DeSantis won in a landslide, but you did a national poll. So there's a national poll that was done by Rasmussen. It found that 46% of Americans nationally, of voting Americans, Democrat and Republican, 46% said they wanted the heartbeat law versus only 43% said that they opposed it. So this idea that Americans hate the heartbeat law is a complete lie. And in fact, like in Florida, even the Democrats at majority support the heartbeat law. So what I think that really is about, Buck, is there's a narrative coming from pro-abortion people and some pro-life people that are just scared and not and being cowards, quite frankly, not being leaders, who are saying, we're not even going to try. Roe v. Wade was overruled. Now we can enact abortion bans. We're not even going to try because, oh, we're going to lose. No, you're going to win like Governor DeSantis won. You're going to win like Governor Abbott won if you're smart about it. If you're smart about how you message on it, if you communicate well, if you're proud of your position instead of being scared and like running from it every time. And then one other thing to note, you know, the midterms, people said, well, the pro-life movement did so poorly in the midterms. So many candidates did poorly. Well, some candidates did poorly. Some pro-life candidates did wonderfully, like Governor DeSantis. But the point is, in the midterms, we were outspent. The pro-life side was outspent. They said up to $40 to $1. Between $30 and $40 to every $1, because the Republican Party didn't even put the money in. They didn't even try. So yeah, if you run from the issue, if you don't message on the issue, and if you won't spend any money to support life, you shouldn't complain when your pro-life candidate, who wasn't even very pro-life, loses. I mean, Governor Oz, you know, Senate candidate Oz in Pennsylvania, he was Dr. Oz. He was a horrible candidate. He was hardly pro-life. And they're like, oh, he lost. So, you know, the Republicans are losing because of Roe v. Wade being overturned. That's not what happened. We have to change the narrative on it because it's just not the case.
What do you think about President Trump's position that it should be left up entirely to the states and the federal government doesn't have a role?
I think it's just flat out false. I mean, think about it this way. What's the number one goal? What's the number one purpose of the government, of the federal government? And it's to secure the common defense, but it's secure our constitutional rights. And what are our constitutional rights? The first right is what? Life. If you don't have life, you don't have any other rights. If you have a state who's not enforcing their homicide laws, they're purposefully leaving out a whole group of people. So the preborn children are human beings just like you and me. They should have equal protection under the law like you and me, under the 14th Amendment. Life doesn't begin at birth. It begins when the human life begins at conception. So these children deserve legal protection. If a state like California decides to not only not protect children in the womb, but to give lethal power, to franchise lethal power to the medical community to kill children for profit, which is what they're doing, the federal government absolutely has a role. How could you say they don't? The federal government's job is to protect the most fundamental human right. And if the states aren't doing it, they need to step in. So I think there should be a federal abortion ban. And I think that there's a lot of things the executive branch can do, even without legislation. I mean, if we have a president in office who's pro-life, they could ban the sale of abortion drugs. I mean, that's interstate commerce right there. That's easy to do. The FDA could just say, we're not going to be distributing these lethal drugs to be used as abortions. So there's some very concrete things that both the legislature federally and the executive branch can and should do.
I want to ask you about feminism in a second, which I'm sure we'll have some very interesting insights on in just a second. We'll get to that in a moment, Lila. But, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, everybody, I got to interview an amazing market analyst, stock market analyst, and especially made video presentation. The funny thing is the analyst goes by the name Mason Sexton. If you recognize the last name, it's because, well, it's my last name because he's my dad. We talked about a premise very important to him, the great disruption of 2023. You see, my dad's been in the stock market for over 50 years. He predicted the stock market crash of 1987 on television, the top of the market before the COVID crash, and then spent many years advising hedge funds behind the scenes quietly. But now he's seeing signs of a massive disruption. He's come forward with a major market prediction. He sees these banks floundering, real estate losing its value, inflation causing sticker shock. My dad's going to tell you why most analysts are wrong about a coming lost decade in stocks and why what's coming could be much, much worse. But if you know what to do, you can still protect your wealth and profit. He's made his first major prediction in 30 years. If you missed it, go check out the video at disruption2023.com. That's disruption2023.com. Lila, are you a millennial? May I ask you that? I feel like you're young enough. Are you Gen Z?
I'm a millennial. Probably.
You're a millennial too. Okay, you're a millennial as well. I'm an old millennial, gray beard millennial. So I feel like I'm not hip to like what the cool kids say, but I have some idea of what folks in their 30s are thinking and how they're living their lives. And I just wonder, when's it going to come across more that the promises of whatever you want to call it, postmodernist feminism, lead to deep misery and unhappiness? And I think this is reflected in, honestly, a lot of the data now about, women in their 20s and 30s, but also all the way down to teenage girls who are having the worst mental health crisis since I think they've been able to measure this kind of stuff with national polls. I mean, is there a narrative that is to blame here that needs to be adjusted?
There is. And yes, you can blame modern, and I consider it, you know, what you could call it. I think you said postmodern feminism.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they call it a lot of different things, but.
Yeah. What does feminism mean today? To most people, it means the bad stuff, which is pro-sexual promiscuity. Women are at war with their motherhood. Women are pro-abortion. I mean, all of that is nonsense and is the opposite, the antithesis of valuing what it means to be a woman. What makes women different from men? We have the unique ability to be mothers. Men can be fathers. Do we champion motherhood in women? Do we champion marriage in women, which I think most women deeply want, a committed lifelong relationship as opposed to hookup culture? Yeah, that would be the pro-woman message. But I think so many young girls are miserable. I mean, during COVID, the anxiety rate spiked for young girls. I think it's one out of every three young girls have considered suicide. I mean, it's insane. And I remember being a young girl and going through hard times and wondering what's my identity in my teen years. And it's even worse for girls today because I didn't have, you know, the messages young girls today, it has gotten so much worse in the last decade and a half than even when I was that age. So what's the source of it? Social media is huge. Where the constant comparison, the constant need to be perfect, look perfect. I think that's part of it. A lack of connectivity to real world people, deep friendships and bring so much meaning in someone's life. Broken families is part of it, Buck. I mean, so many people, more people are growing up without an intact family than not. You know, so many people don't know what a real marriage even looks like. No wonder they don't want to get married. No wonder so many are giving up on love when marriages are broken everywhere. But I do think gender ideology and abortion ideology is especially pernicious for young girls. Because we talked about Chloe Kull earlier. She's this great example of what young girls suffer. When you hit puberty as a young girl, you're questioning your identity. You're questioning your body. If you're told your body is wrong, or you're told in order for you to be a woman, you have to be like a Kardashian and be uber sexy and basically sexually commoditize yourself. If that's what womanhood is, right? No wonder so many girls are like, I'm out. You know, I don't want this. This feels bad. This feels wrong. So you're creating this perfect cesspool of misery for girls between the internet, between the beauty and sex standards, and between the sexual revolution saying that, you know, marriage and motherhood don't matter anymore. No wonder girls are miserable. What's the solution? We talk about it on my podcast a lot. I know you care about this, but it's values. It's returning to morality. It's returning to values and a positive view of women and men, of motherhood and fatherhood and of marriage. So in explaining why these things are good and worth fighting for instead of we should give up on them.
And I'm sure you've come across this, but on some of these, I don't know if they call, I don't know what they'd really kind of these alpha male podcasts or some of these influencers who will talk about, because you did the Whatever podcast recently, which I saw, which you had some viral moments on that. But you'll come across, in general, guys on the internet who will say, they use this term. I actually learned this term from my friend Jenna Diabila. I don't know if you know her, but she talked about body count once. And I'm legitimately, I was like, Jedediah, when I was helping special operations guys in Iraq and Afghanistan, like body count was a very, you know, that's what I thought of as the body count, like how many people died in the, you know, in the strike, basically. But body count, obviously, in the context of dating is a very, very different thing, which is how many people somebody has slept with. And I feel like these guys who say you have to take that into account, and there's a very, you know, they're like, oh, I would never, you know, if a woman has slept with more than three men or something, they're getting at something that is somewhat true, but they're taking the wrong approach to it, which is just cycle through as many women as you can until you happen to find one who hasn't slept with a lot of guys, instead of women sleeping with a lot of guys because the culture pressures them to do that is doing a lot of damage to women, to other human beings that has long-term psychological impacts, right? I mean, this is, so they're picking up on something, but it's like they're diagnosing a problem, but their approach to it is wrong.
Well, it's more than wrong. There, it's like pot calls the kettle black, and it's like you guys are both doing the wrong thing here. If your solution to women are promiscuous is to be promiscuous yourself, good luck with that. Like, you know, you're not going to find eternal happiness that way. And so I think the solution is men have to stand up and be better men, and women have to stand up and be better women. You know, I think sometimes I hear in culture this blaming game of like, it's the women's fault or it's the men's fault. And I think we're all at fault. I think every single one of us are at fault in terms of if we're participating in hookup culture, if we are participating in hatred and division between the sexes, then we have a responsibility to stop. And the message for young women out there is a very similar message to young men, which is pursue virtue. You know, virtue is this like forgotten word, but what is virtue? It's self-control, it's respect. Virtue is even modesty, not just of dress, but of behavior. It's understanding that what are you aiming for? What makes people most happy? This is what gets so crazy, Buck, is when you look at the social data, all the social data says that people who are monogamous, who get married, who stay married, are the happiest and healthiest sexually and physically. In every aspect, they are the most economically successful. And that's not just because they come from a rich background. It's for both different socioeconomic levels. Regardless, if you are monogamous and you seek and keep an intact family, you will have better outcomes because you're going to be protected from all of the nightmares that come from cheating, dishonesty, breaking up your family, children out of wedlock, STIs, all of the stress, economic stresses of that, of having multiple households, you're protected from those things. And again, there's still mistakes that can be made in a monogamous marriage, of course, but the point is at large, it's better for society. So that's the message, right? And then the other message too is you are actually more likely to divorce if you live together before marriage. Most people don't even know this. They think if you live together before marriage, you're actually like somehow protected from messing up the marriage because you really know you want to marry this person. Actually, if you test drive the car, as you say, before getting, you know, buying the car, you're actually more likely to divorce. Couples that are chaste, you know, abstinent before marriage and then get married are more likely to stay married. So more people hear this and understand why, I think it's going to change our culture on this.
I'm going to give you a closing. I like to look for a point of optimism. Where whenever we close, we'll get to that in 1 second, just because we've talked about some heavy stuff here. Important stuff, but heavy stuff. But and this is one of these transitions. This is like a bad habit from radio, Lila. You know what else is important? Having great towels. And my friends at MyPillow have phenomenal towel set. 2 bath, 2 hand towels, and 2 washcloths, typically retailing for $99.98. For a limited time, you can get this set on clearance for $25 with my name as the promo code Buck. Look, if you have old towels in your house, they don't absorb very much anymore. They don't feel good. You got to change them out really every 2 years for sure. So even if you have some hand towels, folks, have some bath towels, get some fresh ones. You're going to be so happy. Treat yourself. It's $25, an amazing price. Clearance price is $25. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special Square and enter promo code BUCK. That's promo code B-U-C-K. All right, Lila Rose, last word for you. Everyone should check out the Lila Rose podcast. She is talking about a lot of the things we've touched on today and a whole lot more. And it's good to hear a young lady espousing a traditional value of morality and virtue so eloquently. What makes you optimistic?
What makes me optimistic is I think a lot of people are waking up. I mean, I'm sure you see these too, but comments from people saying, you know, they're not even religious, they're not Christian or Catholic or anything, but this makes a lot of sense. I get DMs from people saying, oh my gosh, I thought that I had to sleep with my boyfriend because that's what everyone said you do, but I don't want to do that anymore. I want to save sex for marriage. I mean, people are making these decisions. You know, people are looking for happiness. They're looking for meaning. They're looking for solutions. And I think a lot of the things we're talking about are values are a solution to what a lot of people are longing for. So I'm hopeful that there's cultural revival happening and excited to be a part of it.
Lila Rose, thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
Who is there for heroes of the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who: the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year. Dozens of golf outings. And the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.